This episode of Pop Culture Weekly, I talk with Adam Conover all about his brand new series on Netflix, The G Word. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Na-na-na. What's up? Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and I'm really excited because today I talk with Adam Conover, who is hysterical. He's a comedian, a TV host, a writer. Adam, you may know probably most famously so far from Adam Ruins Everything, which was on True TV, and I absolutely love that show, where he, you know, debunked kind of common misconceptions on all kinds of stuff. And he has a brand new show that debuted on Netflix this week called The G Word with Adam Conover. And it is very much like it could be a sister series to Adam Ruins Everything, but it's all about the government. And while that may sound, you know, not your cup of tea, believe me, if you like Adam, you will love The G Word. I am in love with this series. It is, like I said, it's like a sister series to Adam Ruins Everything, except it has to do with things good and bad in the government. So, for instance, there's an episode on food and how the FDA really started, and then how it keeps us safe, you know, how the FDA's safeties, how the FDA makes us safe with our food, and all kinds of stuff. And it's got his, you know, educational slash sarcastic humor that I love so much. So it's a really great show. The first six episodes are out right now on Netflix, and I want you to love it as much as I do, which you're going to do the second you hit play. So let's get right in to my conversation with the one and only Adam Conover. All right. So thank you so much, Adam Conover, for speaking with me on iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Weekly, all about your brand new series, The G Word, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Thank you.
Of course. So tell me a little bit about why this series was important for you to do.
Sure. I mean, this is a series that's all about the federal government, right? What it does, all the hidden ways it affects our lives that we don't realize. And what's important to me about it is this is a time when people are very cynical about the government. People have a lot of assumptions about it. And people spend a lot of time arguing about it online and on cable news, but they're mostly just arguing about the politicians, right? The people who we elect to run it. Nobody knows anything about what it actually does. And once we started looking into that question, we were amazed at what we found. I mean, literally, the only reason we have clean meat that we can eat is because of the federal government. The only reason that we know where hurricanes are coming, when you watch the Weather Channel and you see that hurricane coming towards the coast, the only reason we know that where it is because there is a plane full of U.S. government hurricane hunters who are flying in and out of that hurricane over and over again. And I actually went along with them on the show. We also talk about lots of, you know, problems in the government, ways the government affects our lives in bad ways that I could get into. But, you know, the point is to really do an investigation of the government that is fun and exciting and funny. I am a comedian in order to get people to start thinking about what this thing actually does so that we're better informed when we're making choices about who we think should lead it.
Yes, I love that. I love, by the way, that you went up into the hurricane. I think it was Hurricane Sam or something. Mm-hmm. And I have not been flying lately. I've been driving everywhere, which is a whole other story. But when it's bad enough for me to get in a plane, I can't imagine getting on a plane in and going purposefully into the middle of a hurricane.
Yeah, it was really intense. I mean, it's a big cargo plane run by the U.S. Air Force. There is almost no seating. You know, there's a jump seat you strap into for takeoff and landing. Other than that, you're just walking around. When they go into the hurricane, they fly into it. They're just like, hey, hold on to something. You might want to grab hold. And then it's just the most intense turbulence you've ever been in. You are bounced around for hours. You know, normal plane tries to go around the turbulence. This one goes directly into it because they're trying to measure how much turbulence there is. But then the most amazing part, you see this happen on the show, is after you break through into the eye, the center of the hurricane, right? And there you've been bounced around the whole time, but in the center of the hurricane, it's completely clear. The sun is shining. You can see all the way from the sun, all the way down to the ocean below you. And then it's totally peaceful. And then in front of you is this massive wall of clouds just stretching up, you know, down from the horizon all the way up into the sky. It's breathtaking. One of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I was like really privileged to see it. And then I'm like, these guys get to see this every day. They, you know, they are flying during the hurricane season. They are flying multiple missions a day into this hurricane. And it's something that I had no idea that, you know, this is something my taxpayer dollars, your taxpayer dollars are paying to have happen. And the only reason is because we need to be protected from hurricanes. It's the only reason it's happening. It's something no company could do. No, you know, Elon Musk couldn't make this happen by himself, right? Because this is the scale of the enterprise that we use to track weather around the country. There's 100 different weather stations all across the country staffed with scientists who are working for you. And they generate all the data that the Weather Channel, that every app on your phone, the local news that all of them use. And that was a story that was like really incredible to tell. It was incredible to be there.
And, you know, what angered me was the whole thing about AccuWeather. I had no idea about that. And I actually deleted the app on my phone. And and I'm just using the Apple stock app now. But I had no idea about that. And it's really anger inducing as a taxpayer to learn something like that. And I, you know, all these years I've been alive, I've never known that. So I love that.
Yeah, the story for those who haven't seen the episode yet is that AccuWeather, the for-profit, you know, weather media company that everybody knows, has worked to deliberately undermine the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service is the government public organization that generates all this weather data. And anytime you are seeing a weather prediction, the original data is coming from the National Weather Service. They make the original predictions that everyone else relies on, from the local news to the newspaper to AccuWeather themselves. But AccuWeather has started to see that organization as competition. And so they have worked in Congress by lobbying Congress, trying to get laws passed to prevent the National Weather Service from communicating with the public. So right now, if you go to weather.gov, you can just get the government forecast for your area. You can read what's written by the local scientists in your neighborhood who are analyzing the data, who are meteorologists. AccuWeather has been trying to make it impossible for them to communicate with you directly so that you instead have to pay AccuWeather for the privilege of, and you know, you download that AccuWeather app, they'll start hitting you up for, you know, the in-app payment, right? They want you to pay a little bit extra to get the better data. But their data is coming from the U.S. government.
Which we've already paid for.
Yeah, we've already paid for it. Exactly. It's not wrong for them to build a business off of that data. That's what the data is there for. But it is wrong for them to try to cut off everyone else's access to it and try to build a monopoly over it. And, you know, that kind of interaction between companies that are trying to take advantage of what the government is doing, that we are all paying for and are trying to, you know, pervert it and change it and reduce our access to it. That's a big topic of what we cover on the show. Another example of that is GPS. You know, we all sort of believe that GPS was, you know, given to us by what? Google, Apple, right? We experience it through our phones, maybe Garmin or TomTom, right? If you remember those older companies. And it seems like, oh yeah, Garmin must have invented GPS, right? But the entire GPS network is run as a public service by the U.S. government. They run 16 satellites up in the sky circling the globe. And every time you open your phone, you are using that government satellite. And the government gives it to everyone to use for free around the world. And they have never told that story. We have allowed ourselves to believe, oh, Google Maps is incredible. Google Maps did it. Google Maps would not exist if not for 60 years of taxpayer-funded government research perfecting this technology and opening it up to the public. So the point of this is that we in America really credit private individuals and private companies so much with our greatest accomplishments, when in reality, they're things that we did together. And we do our greatest work when we get together and do things as a society, pooling our money together, pooling our effort together. And just realizing that is a big part of what we are trying to get across on this show. Because if we can do that, if we can predict the path of the hurricane, if we can invent a technology like GPS together, imagine what else we could do if we put our mind to it. Could we solve healthcare in America? Could we solve education in America if we actually started working together again in the same way we did when we were building those services?
I love this. And, you know, one of the, I think the biggest thing I love is that you do this in a very entertaining way. You know what I mean? So I'm not listening to a lecture about how there's USDA inspectors at private businesses and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You are there and you have your hairnet on and your mask and you're walking through the factory with them, seeing what they do. And you're talking to them and giving us the info in a really, really, really entertaining way. And I love that.
I really appreciate you saying so. Yeah, I mean, our opening episode is about the USDA, about how they inspect the meat that we eat every day. Every single piece of meat you ever eat has been inspected by hand by a USDA employee who is working in the factory. They literally are legally mandated to be there. They have to have these inspectors in the factory. Like, imagine a restaurant inspection, except the inspector is there every single day on the line. And we actually got into a Cargill beef processing plant in order to see how they do their work. And this is a plant that they have not allowed cameras in there in decades because, you know, PETA used to try to sneak in there and, you know, get a lot of footage. They let us in because we were working with USDA. And we showed the process. We showed how it happens. And, you know, let me tell you something. It's not all pretty. Like, I was a little bit unsettled by some of what I saw because you see these cows lined up and, you know, it's like kind of a depressing circumstance. But taking a look at this is how it actually works, the reality of our food system, right? Normally, we just see what comes out at the grocery store. You look at the rack and you're like, okay, it says organic. What does that mean? You don't have any context for it. What we wanted to do on the show was bring you there and show you where it comes from so you have an idea about it and you can make your own judgment about whether you think this is a good system of food system or not. And yeah, we try to do it entertainingly. You know, I'm making jokes all the way through. We have an incredible lineup of sketch comedians who illustrate all the points that we're making, you know, using sketch comedy. We have James Austin Johnson, who's on SNL now. We have a whole bunch of other incredible comedians. And yeah, I'm really glad you found it entertaining because that was the goal the whole time, was to take this subject. It's kind of dry, you know, or it seems like it could be kind of dry, make it super entertaining for folks. So you can enjoy and learn something at 11 p.m. after you put the kids down and you're having your glass of wine before you fall asleep. You can be entertained and also learn something important.
I plan on watching, you know, more of it for my 11 a.m. glass of wine. But but so these topics, I love the entire series. Are you thinking more, or, you know, do you have more ideas to keep going or what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many more topics that we could do. One we didn't even get into is nuclear power. That was one that we wanted to do. We ended up on the cutting room floor for this season. But, you know, about the, you know, the way the federal government, first of all, safeguards all of our nuclear weapons, but also is responsible for storing all of the nuclear waste from every nuclear plant in the country. And so there are these enormous facilities deep underground where they just have all of this nuclear waste that they're storing. They need to store it literally for thousands of years, right? And who else but the government could, like, keep something safe like that for thousands of years? There's so many other stories like that we want to cover that would be really fascinating. But, you know, we also did a nice season finale at the end of the year to sort of tie a bow on everything, because in this business, you never know whether or not you'll get to do more episodes. That said, you know, my purpose in my career is to, you know, create this comedy documentary format where we use comedy to tell important stories, make them really visual, make them super entertaining, make them really popular, so that we tell stories that, you know, can go a lot further than they would if they were just a dry PBS kind of show. And so whether or not we do more of the G word, I'm going to be spending the rest of my career getting more ideas like this through my stand up, through other documentaries. Like, you're not going to have heard the last of me.
Oh, of course not. I mean, I that was never in question.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm just giving a warning. We should be wrapping. just after you speak. Okay. Go ahead.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I thank you so much, Adam, for speaking with me. The G Word is on exclusively on Netflix. I love it. I can't wait for everybody to see it. And for your next project, come on back.
Oh, I would love to anytime. It was great talking to you, Kyle.
You as well. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
Hysterically funny guy. He, you know, started out, I guess you could really say that he started out with college humor. He had kind of a mini version of Adam Ruins Everything back on the College Humor website, which, you know, hello, College Humor is amazing. And you know, he's just, I love his style. Like, he does this, you know, educational yet funny yet sarcastic spin, and it's just really like edutainment. That sounds corny, but it really is. So in any event, listen, watch The G Word with Adam Conover exclusively on Netflix starting right now. Go watch it right now. Let me know what you think. If you're listening on the iHeart app, you can use that talkback button. And I might just feature your talkback on the show next week. Otherwise, you know, you can send me your hate mail and your love mail and your corrections. We know some of you love your corrections. Send them however you normally send them, by Dove or Twitter or Instagram or whatever. All right. Until next week, I love ya. Talk to you soon. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
It's the G Word. I ain't talking about your G spot. I'm talking about the government. Yeah, I'm talking about the government.